You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Yep, that is the music that's a rallying cry to fans all around the world. The seventh season of HBO's Game of Thrones premiered this week, exciting fans who really needed their fix. This show is a groundbreaker in many ways, including becoming TV's first global blockbuster. University of Michigan professor of media studies Amanda Lotz is here to explain why and how. Her book is We Now Disrupt This Broadcast, How Cable Transformed Television and the Internet Revolutionized It All. Always good to see you.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be talking with you.
Well, full confession, I love Game of Thrones. I have been a fan since the first moment of season one. So I jumped at the chance to talk to you about it. And I think about the fact Game of Thrones started on HBO in the U.S. in 2011, but last Sunday's premiere was global. And that's a first?
Well, the first was last season. Mm-hmm. And so instead of having to wait a window is what the technical term is. It could be a week. It could be a few months. Beginning with the last season, HBO had made deals with all of the different networks and services that distribute the show internationally to distribute it not just on the same day, but at the same time. So think about time zones.
Wow. Right?
So the fan desire was of such a nature that somewhere like Australia, they're watching it first thing in the morning as well as then airing it again, often in prime time.
So this avid global fan base that HBO built, it's kind of interesting because it didn't use the internet to distribute the show like the way Netflix distributes House of Cards. Boom, here it all is, everybody, you know, enjoy.
Right. So in the chapter that I talk about this in the book, one of the things that the book is obviously looking at is how internet distribution mm-hmm. has really changed television. And you'd probably expect that the role of the internet in the story would be, well, the internet is the service that can distribute everything across national boundaries without difficulty. But that's not really the role that the internet played in this story. Rather, it was that social media component and the degree to which fans were chatting as the episodes were breaking here in the States, and the degree to which fans outside couldn't sort of block themselves out from that discussion, and the extent to which that desire to be in on the show from the very moment was leading to a lot of pirated access.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, did I see somewhere that that Game of Thrones has been called the most pirated show in the world?
Yes. Both before it was made day and date and actually even since that simultaneous release.
So the solution then, 170 markets, it all drops at the you all get to watch at the same time, but not on the internet.
Correct.
That is interesting. Why is it that Game of Thrones grabs so many fans around the world?
Well, one of the attributes of shows that tend to do well in many different countries has to do with how nation-specific it is. And Game of Thrones isn't nation-specific. It's set in a magical world that could be anywhere. And so that's one reason that a show often might not travel well. It's just too specific to the culture. I think that's probably one of the main ones. And then also, it is a show with an incredible budget.
Oh, yes. Right?
And so even in the U.S., I don't know how many other services could afford the kind of budget that goes into Game of Thrones. And so for that reason, it's a show that just looks spectacular. And so that, too, I think it drives that interest in something that's really just doesn't have a comparison within any other national context.
And it is interesting. I kind of did a little digging. If you look at the cast, of course, mm-hmm. you've got Americans and you've got Brits. But you have actors who are Irish, Icelandic, Danish, Dutch, Norwegian, Chilean, German, Russian, Croatian, and I know I've missed some. That's kind of unusual, is it not, for a series?
Well, I think it's been very strategic for HBO to try and bring in a cast from many countries. And the other thing is that it does shoot in many different countries mm-hmm. abroad. And there are, in many countries, you can take Game of Thrones location tours, so providing a little bit of tourism as well. So I think all of those things also play into pride, interest, awareness of the series.
Plus, fans of George R. R. Martin's books are a built-in priming the pump.
Right. And so that's often the case. And when we think back to 2010, 2011, those weren't really famous books, like not to the extent of The Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or many of those others. But it did have a built-in audience. And so I think the extent to which HBO ended up with a global blockbuster on their hands is something they probably didn't predict, but are certainly very glad to have.
Oh, I'm sure they are. And the fact that they get the big budget means they're making bigger bucks. You wouldn't get the big budget otherwise. Do you think Game of Thrones has created a magic template for the global blockbuster, or is this lightning in a bottle?
I think one of the things that we see across the entertainment industries again and again is that there just is no formula for a blockbuster. So the comparison that I'd make is Netflix Marco Polo, which in many ways was of similar aspiration. It hit, its first season was $90 million. It also it is more geographically set in a real place, but a time so long ago that there certainly would be global interest in it. And it never really succeeded in catching on in nearly the same way. So creating a show that captures this kind of interest is certainly something that every studio is trying to do, and it's a magic moment when it happens.
Are you a fan?
I am.
Okay, so you are. And how do you consume it?
I usually wait to have a whole season put together to watch. So even though the new season launched last Sunday, I am trying to avoid too much information that comes in through the Twitterscape and wait until I have basically the whole season so that I can watch it in probably the course of a week or so. I don't watch all of them in one sitting.
From around the clock. So here we are. We're in the penultimate season. And when we come to the last episode of season 8, where do you think this show will stand in TV history?
There are so many television shows that are doing such amazing artistic work these days. It's hard to to rank them or sort of figure out what their accomplishment is. Now, I don't think Game of Thrones is as strong as all of the dramas on U.S. television. But I think the story that it has as part of its history will certainly be as a show that attracted an international audience, which many of maybe some of the Emmy-awarded, Peabody-awarded shows here in the U.S., and granted, Game of Thrones also won an Emmy, some of the others haven't circulated quite as widely or been nearly as successful with that global audience.
But to the point of your book, we now disrupt this broadcast, how cable transformed television and the internet revolutionized it all. This could not have happened on broadcast. You could not have had The Sopranos. You could not have had Homeland, Game of Thrones. Let's just keep House of Cards. None of those would have worked on the networks.
Absolutely. And that's really the book is telling a 20-year history. And it's really a history in two parts, even though I think based on our memories, we tend to focus on the internet as that really important piece. But the story really does begin in the late 1990s with HBO and The Sopranos, and actually even before that with Oz. And so the ability of HBO as a cable channel and as one that was funded by subscribers as opposed to advertisers is what allowed that initial innovation that then many ad-supported cable channels caught on with, and that's really where so much of this great television has come from.
And no FCC restrictions.
That is true.
Because that gives us the spice and the reality and the gore and everything else that people expect of their Game of Thrones.
It does, but I often think that part gets overemphasized. I think some of these great shows, yes, they often have language you can't use on broadcast and violence and sex, but I don't know that that's what makes them great so much as many of them are just venues for really great storytelling, where creative people have been given really free rein to tell fascinating stories about complicated characters.
And no commercial breaks.
Appreciate that part of it.
Amanda Lotz, University of Michigan Professor of Media Studies. Her book is We Now Disrupt This Broadcast, How Cable Transformed Television and the Internet Revolutionized It All. Amanda, Valerie Morgalis.
Thank you.